Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll explore a challenge that every leader faces and very few ever escape. Andy, today's conversation comes from a talk recently given by one of our staff leaders, and he's no stranger to the podcast. Why don't you introduce him?
Yeah, Clay Scroggins has been on our staff for almost 11 years. Actually, he was on the podcast with us about 5 months ago. He leads one of our largest campuses, and he showed up. He did student ministry for us. He was my kid's student pastor, and then just keeps being promoted and has extraordinary influence with our staff. So, Clay, it's great to have you back.
So glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
And real quick, let me tell you why Clay is here today. A few weeks ago, I got sick. With the stomach flu went through our family and I think most of Fulton County. And we had our all-staff meeting, which is we bring together our staff from all five Atlanta area campuses. So it's about 400 people. And so we had this big gathering planned, and I couldn't be there. So Joel Thomas, who took my place here at North Point, said, "Hey, don't worry about it. We got it covered." I'm like, "Great." So I just went back to sleep and let you guys cover it. So the next morning, I wake up, and I was able to stream our staff meeting to my house via the World Wide Web. And I sat on my couch, and I watched Clay give a talk that he basically put together the night before, you know, along with some things he had talked about before. And I sat there, and it was extraordinary. In fact, Sandra walked in, and she saw me watching, and she stood there and stood there. She was on her way somewhere. She sat down. Then she put her purse down. Then she sat with me as Clay talked about what we're about to talk about. And she turned to me, and she said, "You must be extraordinarily proud." And I said, I know this is my favorite staff meeting we've ever had, and I'm at home. And the reason I loved it, and you're about to experience that yourself as our listener, because Clay talked about something that only a staff member could talk about who's not the number one person in the organization. Mm-hmm. And it was so extraordinary, I immediately told Lane, we've got to get that content to our podcast listeners. So that's a long introduction, but I'm extremely excited about what we're about to talk about.
Well, Clay, the title of the talk was How to Lead When You're Not in Charge.
Yeah, the way this happened for me, you know, in that moment, you're having to draw upon, I would say, things that you've been learning. I mean, it's got to be really, really fresh. And so as I started to think about, well, if someone were to just ask me the question, what are you learning right now? That's the first phrase that popped into my mind, because I thought that is exactly what I'm learning. None of us are really ultimately in charge, but in our organization, obviously, Andy probably feels in charge more than anyone else. No one else, though, really is in charge.
Feeling is the operative word there. I feel in charge.
You may not actually be in charge either, so that's good to know. But none of us really are in charge. And so as I started to think through that over the last couple of years of being at a – you know, being at a campus, which we're operating in some sense like an autonomous church, but in other most senses, we're operating as a family of churches. And so I've got bosses that that don't work at the church that I work at. They work at North Point Ministries, which is just about 20 miles away. And so even though at our local campus I am in charge, I'm really not in charge. And so learning how to lead when you're not really in charge is a really important thing. And I think inside of that, there is a lie that I stumbled upon that I believed, which was you have to be in charge in order to lead. And that's not true. That's actually a myth of leadership, that you don't have to be in charge in order to lead.
And it is a huge myth in leadership. And one of the things I love about you, and really all of our leaders, is there's enough passion and there's enough self-confidence to figure out how to lead when you're not in charge. And one of the reasons this is so critical around here is I've tried very hard to push the decision-making as far down in the organization as possible. And I learned this from other leaders. This certainly isn't original with me. But I don't want to be the decision-maker. In fact, I want to make as few decisions as possible. So I'm constantly trying to say, you decide, you decide, you decide, you get your team together. I don't have to be a part of that decision. So that creates this tension because I'm pushing decision-making as far down in the organization as possible, but some of the people who are making those decisions realize, well, ultimately, I have to give an answer for my decision. I hope it's the right one, which creates this tension of, do I sit around and try to figure out what Andy would do or what Andy would want me to do, or do I do what's best for the organization? And that's why this content, I think, is so critical, really, for every organization.
for me, I've learned this. I've experienced it in every level of the organization that I've sat in. No matter what level I'm in, I realize, you know what, I'm not in charge. That's a healthy thing to realize. But because I'm not in charge doesn't mean I cannot lead. And I think for leadership, when you think about the definition of leadership as influence, all of us ultimately have influence, no matter what level you are, no matter what your title is, no matter what your position is, we all have influence. And since leadership is influence, then all of us can lead wherever we are, whatever level in the organization we may find ourselves in.
And that's a big idea, because I think especially people that are new in leadership roles think, well, I need a title and I need a position. But the truth is, in every organization, the influencers influence. Right. Which means ultimately the influencers lead, and there are men and women listening to the podcast today, and you have the title and the position, but you know, there are some very influential people in the organization, and you listen to them, and they are influencing your leadership even though they're not in charge. And one of the most important things we can do as leaders is allow ourselves to be surrounded by people with influence, because none of us have the corner on the market when it comes to great decision making. So this is a dance, you know, this is art, and the organizations that get this right benefit. So let's jump into the richness of this content.
Well, Clay, you outlined four principles for our staff, and we're going to look at two this month and two next month on the podcast. So when it comes to leading, when you're not in charge, what's the first principle?
Sure. The first principle for me is that I cannot wait to be led, that ultimately I have to lead me. I have to lead myself. That since I'm not in charge, my tendency is to think, well, they need to lead me. And when they lead me well, then I can lead. Then I can have influence. And that's just not true, that ultimately I need to lead myself.
All right, Clay, any best practices just on leading yourself?
For me, sure. There's a couple of them. The first one is learning to be a great follower. I think we've all heard that said, that learning to lead really is learning to be a great follower. I read a book a while ago by a guy named Robert Kelly who talked about followership, that there are really a few different types of followers. There's a yes follower who just says yes to whatever you're asking me to do. That's not the kind of followers that we want. They're the pragmatic followers that just say, well, I'm in this for me. How does this help me? Those are not the followers that you want. Or that you want to be. There's the alienated follower that's just completely independent. I will follow you, but I'm really doing my own thing. Yeah. I'm critical and I'm passive. That's not the kind of follower we want. But ultimately, he called them star followers. The star followers are saying, hey, I want to help you achieve what you're trying to achieve. That's what following really is. And I think leading myself is getting myself in a position where I can follow who I'm following. And that's ultimately a responsibility that I have as a follower and as a leader, as someone who's saying, hey, I believe in you and I'm here to help you lead. And by doing that, I'm going to follow really, really well.
And Clay, if I can interrupt, one of the things that our podcast listeners need to know is you are sitting here with two of your bosses.
Right.
And we have a matrix organization, which doesn't mean we can float in the air in slow motion. It means that we have multiple accountability structure, a sort of a complex accountability structure. So in different capacities, you report to me and to Lane. And so having said that, one of the things that you know, because you are a boss, Clay, you've got a big staff, is that when staff members do what you're talking about, it is telegraphed. Mm-hmm. I know which of the people who report to me are leading themselves well, who want to be a better leader, who are reading, and they're forwarding articles to me. Hey, Andy, have you read this? Hey, Andy, next time we go through a book, this might be a good book. And they're pushing me in an appropriate way, which says to me, they're going to lead themselves and they're going to learn, and I better keep up.
Right.
You know, I better try to stay one step ahead. Even at my stage in life, I need to be engaged in developing as a leader, because, you know, 3 feet behind me are a group of leaders who are engaged in becoming better leaders. So there really is a synergy that happens when leaders lead themselves well, because the leaders ahead of them know that's the case. And it influences me to want to give you more influence. And when you come to me with an idea, I take you seriously. In fact, the more engaged anyone is in the organization with becoming a better leader, good leaders, they listen to those leaders. So again, you're not in charge, but you do have influence. As you leverage your influence, you grow your influence, and you have more influence. So all of these things are so important. They're intangible. They're invisible. But this dynamic is happening at some level within every organization. And anything we can do as point leaders to encourage this, everybody wins.
And Clay, you talked about the intangible benefits of leading yourself well.
Well, I discovered them just like Andy said. As a leader, I discovered them because I have realized that the people that work for me who are the easiest to lead are the ones who are leading themselves well. That when you lead yourself well, you actually become the easiest person for me to lead. Not only are you the easiest to lead, but you also ultimately become the most desired to be led.
Yeah.
Mm. That the people in our organization that are fought over, I would say, in an appropriate way, where multiple people are wanting them on their team,
yep,
they're typically the people that are leading themselves really, really well. And then also, not only are you the easiest to lead, you're the most desired to be led, but you're also the quickest to get to lead next.
Mm.
So you're typically the quickest one to get promoted or the quickest one to get more opportunity to lead because you've already proven that you can lead yourself really, really
well.
Which
results in greater influence and
more
once
leadership.
Again, you're influencing even though you're not in charge. And can I add one thing to that is you say they're the easiest, but Clay, I know you. They're not the easiest because they're
That's
the
true.
Least opinionated.
That's true.
They're not the easiest because they just say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. In that way, they're the most difficult because they keep coming up with ideas.
Right.
Like they have their own ideas right. and their own thoughts.
Imagine that.
But the reason you find that group of people easy to lead is because you are not threatened by that. You want what's best for the organization, and you've created an environment where those kinds of things, you know, happen and nobody's threatened. So again, it's a reflection of your leadership because you're trying to be a strong leader, that you attract strong leaders. Strong leaders are on one hand, easy to lead because you have to send them home at the end of the day.
Right.
They're difficult to lead because they keep wanting to lead and influence. So again, it's this wonderful tension that every healthy organization experiences.
All right, Clay, so the first principle to leading when you're not in charge is to lead yourself. Give us the second.
Well, I even hesitated to offer this to our staff because I feel like it's a little bit bubblegum, but I have found it to be so true that in order for me to lead well, even when I'm not in charge, I have to, on a regular basis, choose positivity. And that, and again, it feels like you're just saying, well, just be happy all the time. But that's not it. That really I have learned, and I learned this from Bill Hybels, and I think it was 2006 at the Leadership Summit. He did a talk on it was really on leading yourself. And he talked about the greatest thing that he brings to his team is not his education, it's not his experience, it's not his talent, but it's his positivity, it's his attitude, it's the emotional energy that he brings his team. And I've learned the same thing to be true of me, that the greatest thing I bring my team is an attitude of positivity, saying, hey, we can do this, this is where we're headed. Let's keep our heads up and let's keep moving in the direction that we've chosen to aim towards.
Clay, this is another really, really big idea, maybe an entire podcast, because I heard Bill Hybels say a similar thing years ago as well. He said, the greatest thing I bring to my staff is my energy. And I've never forgotten that because that's something I struggle with at times, especially when we have really early meetings. This is why caffeine is your friend. In fact, as Lane could tell you years and years ago, when we first started, I decided to quit drinking coffee. And and so Julie,
we call them the dark years.
No, you weren't around yet. And Julie Arnold, who's been on our staff since day one, came to me and she said, Andy, I need to talk to you about something. I said, what? She said, we all think that you need to start drinking coffee again.
I've been elected to tell you this.
I was not bringing my energy to those early morning meetings, but it really is huge. Yeah. And when it's most important is when things aren't going well. And a little bit of negativity, when there's already some negativity, it becomes exponential. But when the point person walks in and you're not just, you know, being positive for positive sake, you really have latched on to, hey, there's opportunity, there's hope, hey, we've been through this before. You know, the point leader has the power to lift the entire team. So you're
Absolutely.
Exactly right. It's not just a positivity for positivity's sake. It is a leadership strategy, and it's incredibly important.
And honestly, we try to hire this way because a lot of it is personality driven, but some of it is learned behavior. But we try to hire not 25-watt bulbs, but we try to hire 100-watt bulbs, people that are keeping their positivity, that are choosing that kind of energy, that have the white-hot passion. What I have found in positivity is really a fight for we over me, that especially when an organization begins to get complex and complicated, multi-tiered, multi-level, multi-department, that there's a natural gravitational pull towards me, towards what's in it for me and where am I headed and what ideas am I bringing. And positivity really is a fight for we over me, especially in a complex organization.
Clay, you just said, you know, we have to fight for we over me. Why do you think that's true?
I think it's because when an organization gets complex, you probably will find yourself in a position where you're not getting to make the decisions, that you're getting handed decisions that have already been made. And maybe you find yourself in that role now where you're in a position where someone is handing you decisions. And we've heard the phrase that when we weigh in, we buy in. And that is really, really true. But most of the time, we're not going to get to weigh in, but we're being asked to buy in. And so you have a choice to make in the middle of that. Am I going to fight for me and get my feelings hurt and be frustrated about what I didn't get to weigh in on? Or am I going to choose to go ahead and buy in and choose positivity and bring that energy and lead, even though I'm not in charge, even though I didn't get to make the decision?
It's so easy to be a critic. And every thinking person can come up with what's wrong with every idea. In fact, all of us have come up with ideas and gone home and come up with reasons why our own idea wasn't the best. You know, it's easy to be a critic, but you're exactly right. In an organization, the critic, it's generally not helpful. And there's a place to criticize and there's a place to evaluate. But to bring that to every single decision and back office chatter, even if you're right, it's just not helpful.
I couldn't agree more. And what I have learned is that more important than making the right decision is owning the decision and making it right. That more important than even being given the opportunity to speak into the decision is when you're handed a decision, by your positivity, you can make that decision work or you can make that decision not work.
Right.
It really is your choice.
We all have the power or the influence to sabotage anyone's decision. If you don't think you have power in an organization or influence, look how easy it is just through words, a memo, an attitude, a look, roll your eyes, or just an expression of disgust. You can undermine, no matter where you are in the organization, you can undermine the momentum around the decision.
And you can ultimately make it a great decision or you can make it a poor decision based on how you receive and then execute that decision.
Yeah, I tell leaders all the time, any strategy will work if you work it.
There you go.
We look at organizations and we go, gosh, let's do what they did. No. Just get 100% behind what you're doing, it'll probably work. There's no one way to do anything. And again, you start comparing and contrasting, and next thing you know, there's not the synergy that you need in the organization. So this is really, really important. And now, just to hit the pause button, for those of you who are point leaders, can you imagine why, when I was sitting on my couch at home sick, listening to Clay, who is not in charge, talk to our staff about the importance of these things? Because it would be one thing coming from me, hey, we all need to be about we and not me. Well, you expect me to say that because I benefit, I'm the point leader. But for somebody who's in middle management to have this insight and realize, you know what, we all benefit. I benefit, the people who work for me, the people I work for, the entire organization benefits when it is really about we more than me in an organization where me is heard at the appropriate level. So, yeah, again, it was a great staff meeting that I wasn't there for.
Clay, actually, in the talk, you told a story about a time that Andy asked us to own a decision. Tell that story.
That nobody thought was a good decision. So go ahead. I'll leave the room.
Thanks for giving me the liberty to share it. I think it was 2001. We were our church was growing rapidly, which is such a fun season. And we had one auditorium where the adults met. And your choice, I guess, was to build a bigger church or to build another auditorium that sat right behind the original auditorium. So there are now two mirrored auditoriums. One was called the East and one was called the West. And we had an event on a Sunday night. I was just a volunteer. I was 21, I think. And I was volunteering in high school ministry. And so I missed the meeting where, Andy, you shared where everyone was going to sit, because that was the big question is, well, then which auditorium do I sit in?
Yeah, and to set that up, so the following Sunday, several thousand people would show up for church, and now instead of one auditorium, we had two, and I would be live on one side and video on the other. So I knew there would be this dilemma of, okay, let's all rush to the the live side, and then all the guests, all the leftover people who get here late will go. So I didn't want that. So I came up with an idea of how to get people to choose one auditorium over the other. And back to your story.
So I bumped into a girl named Emily who was just a little bit ahead of me who was at the meeting. And I said, Emily, did they share who was going to sit where? And she said, they did. And I said, what's the plan? And she said, well, they just alphabetized it. And I thought, what? And she said, yeah, A through M is going to sit in the East, and then N through Z is going to sit in the West. And my immediate response was, as a cocky, arrogant 21-year-old, was, that's a terrible idea. And she kind of looked at me perplexed and she said, really? I thought it was a great idea. And honestly, her positivity took – it literally took me back. I stepped back a moment and thought, well, maybe that is a great idea. Maybe I just missed it. I mean, I thought that seemed a little odd, but maybe she's right. Maybe that's a great idea. And then she kind of broke and she started to snicker. And I said, what's so funny? And she said, well, Andy told us that if anybody didn't think it was a great idea, that we should just tell them, oh, really? I thought it was a great idea. And so so sure enough, it had actually worked, that her positivity took an idea that, whether it was a good idea or not, she made it a great idea.
And think of what how that conversation would have gone if she just said, I know, whisper, whisper.
Yeah, I
what
thought
a stupid
the same
idea.
Thing.
Yeah. So again, to your point, your initial response to her, kind of the party line, no, I thought it was a great idea. That's powerful. I mean, it's powerful, whether it was a great idea or not.
She made it a great idea.
Clay, in the talk, you mentioned a choice that everyone must make when they find themselves in the middle of a large, really complex organization. Talk about that choice.
You really have a choice in your attitude, in your when you're choosing positivity. You have a choice to make, especially when you're not getting to make the decisions. You're getting handed decisions. Your choice is, I can be frustrated at what I'm not getting to be a part of, and I can have a bad attitude and say, well, this stinks that they didn't ask me, and if they would have asked me, I would have told them that that was not a great idea. Or you can be grateful for what they do for you that allows you to get to do what you get to do. And those are two very different perspectives on the same situation. You can be frustrated, or you can say, you know what? I'm glad that they make the decisions they make, because that frees me up to then go do what only I can do.
Clay, give us an example of what you're talking about.
Well, we have a central organization, and then we have these five local churches. And so one example is, our central organization handles most of our programming. They handle most of our series planning. Hey, what are we going to be talking about on Sunday? And instead of being frustrated that our team doesn't get to be a part of that, we can look at it as, you know what, that's one thing they're taking off our plate. They're doing that for us. We can trust it's going to be great. And then now locally, we can work on developing our staff, connecting with new families that are coming into our churches, doing the things that only we can do locally because they're handling so much of the programming for us.
Now, I can imagine that some of our listeners might be thinking this all sounds just a little too positive. So if that's so, you don't want to miss next month's podcast where Clay addresses really that very tension. So
it's very negative next month.
Exactly.
You won't want to
miss it. Well, Andy, as we wrap up today's podcast, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm just so grateful that I am surrounded by leaders who are better leaders than me. I tell people all the time, the reason I am in charge is because I got here first. It's not because I'm the smartest. It's not because I'm the most talented. And as you've heard today, you know, Clay's insights are extraordinary. And I'm just very, very grateful that there's a group, a generation behind me, pushing me, challenging my ideas, and then going back to work and digging in and leading themselves and leading the people that they have the opportunity to lead. And it just creates a tension, but a healthy tension. And I just think we're better for it.
Well, Clay and Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today, and thanks to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.